So, for today's sermon, I've been given a single word for my sermon title, and the word is faith. And assigned to me was this the great chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And if you've been going to church long enough, I'm sure that you have heard a number of sermons on this passage. And it begins with what seems to be a definition for faith. It begins with what seems to be a definition for faith. It begins with the words, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." And then after this, it continues on with all these "by faith." By faith, we understand the universe. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. And so what we have here is some kind of a definition of faith, it seems. And this statement about these ancients or people of old, you know, who are these people of old, these ancients, right, that are commended for their faith. And it goes through this list of different Old Testament saints and how they've lived out their faiths. Now, I don't know about you, but I sometimes have a love-hate relationship with the Old Testament. I say this knowing that there's an Old Testament scholar on this call. But you know, recently I've been reading through the Old Testament as part of my own time with God, and I've been reading these amazing stories of the Israelites and their relationship with God, but interweaved with them are these passages, which sometimes I wish weren't there, okay? These genealogies, these long lists of family after family after child after child that is being born, and sometimes children that are born to wives, some are children that are born to mistresses, sometimes it's children born by a father and daughter, and all these different things. And these genealogies are things that sometimes when I'm reading the Old Testament, I wonder, why are they even in here, right? And sometimes the names that are listed in these genealogies, they're only named once. And so why are such lists in the Bible? Now, when I was first went to university many years ago, I had a dorm mate who was Jewish. And his younger brother, maybe 9 or 10 years old at the time, would sometimes visit. And I remember one time his brother came into the dorm and he was singing this song. And he was effectively singing the genealogies of the Old Testament. And I was thinking, what in the world? How is that a song? Why do you teach a child these genealogies? And there it clicked for me. I realized that for him, the genealogies was family. This is his family. And it's actually like not far from when Betty was coming to meet my family in LA for the first time, and my dad has 9 siblings, and so I had to describe to Betty every single one of the brothers and sisters of my dad and their children, and you know, in Chinese you have you know, if you have brothers that are older than you. Uncles that are the brothers that are older than your father, that is one title, versus a brother that's younger, and so forth, and all these different relationships I had to explain to Betty, because this was my family. And this was, in a sense, the genealogy, right? The family tree that I wanted to convey to Betty. And likewise in the Bible. And it's in the Old Testament especially, but also here in Hebrews 11. What we get is a sense in which Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, which is written to a Jewish audience, the Hebrew audience, right? That those of Jewish descent, these are their family members. These are the great ancestors of your family. So in Hebrews 11, you get discussions of faith, not just of these random names. This is family. These are their ancestors. Now, I'm going to briefly switch into university lecturer mode, okay? So bear with me for a moment, okay? See, what I think is interesting about genealogies and actually even, you know, if you go to a Christian bookstore, which, you know, aren't as plentiful these days, but if you go into a Christian bookstore and you look at the biography section, right? They're written about all these great pastors and missionaries, and sometimes these individuals, quite oftentimes they're Westerners, seem quite distant to me, much like the saints of old in the Bible. And it probably doesn't help that I myself have had no role models in my own life who were Christians. So for a few minutes, I want to just highlight three people of old, three ancients, who are in particular Chinese Christians. The first one I wanted to highlight is Dora Yu. Dora was born in Hangzhou in 1873 into a Christian home. She was a good Chinese girl. Why? Because she went to medical school. She went to medical school in Suzhou, and after graduation, by faith, Dora became one of China's first cross-cultural missionaries. She moved to Korea to spread the Christian message as a medical missionary. She worked in Korea for 6 years, but because her own health was poor, she returned to China for medical treatment. And while this was discouraging for her, by faith, Dora began to preach in China. In the 1910s and 20s, she became a very popular preacher, traveling throughout China, and in 1927 even spoke at the Keswick Convention in northern England. The next person is Wang Mingdao. Wang Mingdao grew up in Beijing. He wanted to be a politician who could change the political situation in China at the time. He later became a Christian when he was a teenager, but when he was 18, he became really sick and almost died. He recovered, and by faith, Wang Mingdao promised to God that he would give up his political ambitions and become a pastor, and started a church in Beijing known as the Christian Tabernacle. Then in the Second World War, Japanese forces took over parts of China, including Beijing, and told him to join a Japanese Christian political movement, and threatened to imprison him if he didn't. By faith, Wang Mingdao chose not to follow, and miraculously he was not imprisoned. In the 1950s, another Christian political movement was started by the communist government. By faith, Wang Mingdao again chose not to follow, but this time he was imprisoned for 22 years. The third person I want to mention is Stephen Wong. Stephen grew up just outside of Beijing and had a conversion experience after hearing the preaching of a childhood friend, a man by the name of Wang Mingdao, the last person. Stephen worked as the headmaster of a Christian school outside of Beijing and was invited to study at Cambridge University. By faith, Stephen Wang made the hard decision to temporarily leave his family, his wife and young children, for what was supposed to be a couple of years in the UK. But while in the UK, China was taken over by communism, and Wang could not return to his home or family. By faith, Stephen Wang found other Chinese in the UK who were in great need. He went on to establish a Chinese overseas Christian mission and the Chinese church in London. He would also help to establish many of the independent Chinese churches throughout the UK, including here in Scotland. Stephen Wang would eventually die in 1971 without ever seeing his family again. These are but a few people of old from the Chinese church, and they each lived by faith. Now, when Christians talk about faith, it is often in the context of salvation, being saved. That is that choice a person makes as whether to be a Christian or not. So it is about a moment of trust in God. And that, I think, is definitely true. But when we read Hebrews 11 in context, the chapter just before and chapter 10, talks about the ways in which ordinary Christians have struggled to be Christians, that their lives were being tested, their faiths were being tested. Many were being persecuted, and many were choosing to not follow God because of the struggles to their faiths. So in chapter 11, when Hebrews talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, as well as if we think about these Chinese Christians, Dora and Wang Lingdao and Stephen, the emphasis is on the faith which sustains and compels us. So faith is not just about the choice one makes to choose to become a Christian, but faith is something God uses to sustain and compel us towards Christian living. It is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now later in Hebrews 11, we are told in verse 13 and following, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What I think is amazing is that these people these people of old in Hebrews 11 who lived by faith died without seeing what they hoped for, died without seeing the hope promised by God. In a way, this can seem actually quite depressing. You know, when we hope for something, we want to see it happen, right? Why have a hope if it ends in nothing, or it seems to end in nothing? But actually, it's not about a hope that doesn't come true. It's about a hope that is still to become true, in a sense. Now, some of you may have heard the news that last Tuesday, there was in the United States, in Atlanta, there was a mass shooting. Which left 8 people dead and 1 injured. 6 of the dead were Asian women, Koreans and Chinese, and the shootings happened at 3 Asian-owned businesses. The shooter was a white American man who grew up in a Baptist church in Atlanta and served in a church in the church's youth ministry. And so many are debating about the possible racial and Christian connections to around this shooting. For me, this incident has been actually quite emotional. As an Asian American, I grieve for and I fear for other Asian Americans. As a Christian, I struggle to understand how somebody who self-identifies as a Christian could commit such a heinous crime. I hope for justice to be served. I hope for healing for the families who lost loved ones. I hope for Christians to be able to address these questions of violence and racial tensions. But like the people in Hebrews 11, while our faith sustains us, we may die before we see the things we hope for come true. And that's actually quite sobering in one sense. But our hope points to a greater longing. We hope because we know that there is something not right about this world. So our hope points to a longing for something better. What the author in Hebrews talks about as a heavenly reality. And in that heavenly reality, God is not ashamed to be called our God, because we hope, and in our hope, we are pointing our hope beyond this world, beyond our lives in this world. And the faith that sustains us, the faith that compels us to live lives after Christ, this is the faith in which in a sense, God it qualifies us before God, that God is not ashamed to be called our God because of this. Now, I think it's important not to read Hebrews 11 in isolation, because after this list of people of old who have lived by faith, Hebrews 12 reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." There is so much embedded in this passage, not only in these few verses here, but actually if you read on in Hebrews 12, and I encourage you to read through Hebrews 12, mindful of Hebrews 11. But it's important to note that in these verses suggests that the people of old are not just random people in the Christian genealogical tree, okay? They are part of a cloud of witnesses, right? They are this cloud of witnesses, this image of us running a race, competing in a contest, that for us to live by faith is hard work, but we are not alone. We are not just going running in circles by ourselves. There is a crowd, these people of old, from the sidelines, cheering us on and encouraging us as we live our Christian lives, as we struggle to live our Christian lives in this world. But I also want to highlight another point from this these verses in Hebrews 12. It is Jesus who is the pioneer and perfecter of the faith. That's what this the end of this quotation here says, right? We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Now, what does this mean? You know, actually, what I find when I read this, it reads kind of odd in English, and in the various English translations I consulted, you know, they all have this slightly odd phrasing. But it's basically this idea that with regards to faith, Jesus is there at the beginning and the end. He is the source of faith. And as the one who sees the faith come to completion, that faith is something that is an active component, that Jesus is working through in us. And as Christians, in the midst of hardship, we are not only surrounded by the faithful who have come before us and who have already experienced great hardship, they are now cheering us on and pointing us towards Jesus, the source and sustainer of our faiths until the very end. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks to you for the many faithful, the many people of old in the Bible, as well as throughout Christian history, that we are reminded of the ways in which people chose to follow you, to make choices by faith, to follow you, and how you have called them in their lives. But also that that even these people in the Bible and in Christian history are imperfect individuals, that individuals who are struggling to live out their faith as people of God. And so, Father, we give thanks to you for your Son, Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of the faith, the one who is there from the beginning to the end, there to support us in all that we do. Help us, Lord, as we live lives after you. We pray also especially for those in Atlanta and in the United States right now. We pray for your healing. We pray for those who fear for their own lives. We pray for those who need to find their lives with the loss of their loved ones. We pray for your hand to be upon the situation there. We pray also for us as your people, that you may give us the strength and the courage and the willingness in the midst of the challenges of being a Christian, of living after you in this world, that we may choose to live by faith and to hope and to long for something greater until the end. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.